My name is Josh Lauterbeck. I've been coming to Crossroads now again for a little over a year, maybe 2 years. I can't remember. I can't count. I'm a church planner who is starting a church in the city of Martinsburg. Everybody knows where that is, right? West Virginia. You know, it's funny thing about that is, yeah, I told God I would never move to Martinsburg, and well, I'm living there now, and I actually love it. A few months ago, Pastor Walt called me and said, hey, I'm going on vacation for a couple weeks. Would you mind filling in and preaching? I said, absolutely. And so I've been struggling to over the last several months to figure out what God wanted to say to his people over the next couple weeks. And I'm not going to lie, this message is about hearing from God. And I think it's funny that many people in churches and congregations think that pastors kind of have it all together, preachers have it all together, and they hear from God on a regular basis, and they're squared away. And I just want to let you know that it's not the case all the time. It's not all rainbows and butterflies and tiptoeing through the tulips with Jesus. Sometimes people like Pastor Walt and myself and JB, we get in situations and scenarios in our lives where we struggle and we need to hear from God. And so this message in this series, the series is titled, You Are Here. How many of you are here today? Okay, right. You are here. And this series is actually about the will of God. How many of you would like to know what God's will for your life is? How many of you struggle with that on a daily basis? And I'm not going to be able to tell you what God's will is for your life in the next 3 weeks. I'm sorry to tell you that, but because it's so different for everybody, it's so unique, it's so specific, and honestly, I can't do that for you. But what I can do, and I feel like God has led me to build this series around, is kind of focus on some ways that we can learn to identify what the next step is in our life, right? Because everybody I know in this room is at a certain place in their faith. You are here. But most of us are kind of sitting around wondering and asking God, now that I'm here, God, where do I go from here, right? What's next for me? But the wonderful thing about our God is that in each and every decade, he is raising up generations of young men and young women who would advance the gospel, who would be called upon to preach the gospel. And so God is raising up generations of young men and young women so that your broken past can be replaced with a second chance. He's raising up men and women so that your fears and insecurities about the future can be replaced with hope and acceptance. And I believe that for many of you today, you have been waiting, you have been wanting to hear from God. You find yourself in some sort of situation or circumstance in your life and you need to hear from God, and I'm here to tell you this morning that God wants to, and he is speaking to you. He so desperately wants you to be a part of his story, and I know Pastor Walt the last several months has been saying, as he opens every sermon, if you would just listen this morning, God is speaking to you. He is trying to speak to you, and so the title of this sermon today, this message today, is called Repeaters. So if you're into taking notes and you want to write stuff down, I would encourage you to. As an aside, I don't give out little bulletin card thingies. I don't know what you call them. Because I don't want to limit what God may be speaking to you this morning by filling in the blanks. So if God speaks to you this morning, write down what he tells you. So today's message is called Repeaters. I don't know where each of you are today, this morning, in the spectrum of life. When you're coming in here, maybe the grip of the economy is tightening around your finances and you need to hear from God. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been spending all of your time and all of your energy reliving or running from some past regret or mistake and you need to hear from God. Maybe you married the love of your life. Oh, everybody say, oh. But the things that he says to you now are hurtful. And she feels so distant from you and you're feeling alone and confused and you're hurt, and you need to hear from God. Maybe you have been waiting for God to prove himself to you, to prove himself to you by some divine intervention in your life or some miracle, and then and only then will you place your faith in him, and you've been waiting to hear from God. The bottom line is that we all need to hear from God. We all need God to speak into our lives. We all want to know, God, now that I'm here, where do I go from here? What next? God, speak to me. And I want you to understand this. Whether you're the prince or the pauper, the preacher or the participant in worship, God is speaking to you. We all need to hear from God. Pastor Walt, JB, me, we all need to hear from God. And no matter what kind of hell you're living through right now or what kind of hell you have been through, no matter what you've done or what you didn't do in the past, God is speaking to you, and he wants to speak to you this morning. He is calling your name this morning. He is calling you out this morning. He wants to speak to you. The question is, are you prepared to listen to his voice? Listen for his voice this morning. Let's pray. Father God, I pray this morning, God, that you would illuminate your word. God, that it would pierce our hearts and minds to create an opportunity that we might receive a word from you this morning, to hear from you in the circumstances of our lives. God, and I know that you know that each one of us is at a different stage in our life. God, and we need to hear from you specifically about our circumstances, God. So I pray that you would customize this message and modify this message so that each one of us leaves here today having heard from you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. If you guys would get your Bibles out and turn to Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to be reading from verses 1 through 10. Because one of the most divine encounters in all of the scriptures where we see God speaking to a man is found in the opening pages of the book of Exodus, when we find Moses stumbling across a burning bush, right? Everybody read that story before, heard that story? It's a famous story. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to read through these 10 verses, and then we're going to go through what I think are four very important and fundamental principles for you trying to figure out what's next. Now that I'm here, where do I go from here? And I believe it starts with your ability to hear from God. There is no greater skill that a Christian can learn than the ability to hear and respond to God's voice in your life. So it's beginning in verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames and from fire within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush did not burn up. When the Lord saw that Moses had gone over, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here am I, or here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. How many of you know that where you are standing today, as you walk with God, you are standing on holy ground? Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Some of you need to hear this morning that God is concerned about your suffering. He has heard your cries, and he has seen the pain. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hittites and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." See, Moses received the next step. Where do you go from here? The first point I want to make, if you're taking notes, write this down, is this very simple. God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you, and I mean that on several levels. What I mean is that God did not stop speaking thousands of years ago with Moses in the burning bush. God did not stop speaking thousands of years ago with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who wrote the Gospels. God did not speaking when the Bible, as we know it, the canon was closed and no more pages were going to be written. God did not stop speaking. Now, in many ways, the Bible is the final revelation of God. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. The Bible reveals for us the intent of God's heart and the content of God's character. But that's not what I'm talking about when it comes to this story. What I'm talking about is the setting in which God speaks to Moses. You see, before Moses has this life-altering, Guinness Book of World Records-making encounter with God, Moses is on the backside of the desert tending sheep. And not only that, tending the sheep of his father-in-law. How many of y'all want to work for your father-in-law? Right? It can't get any worse than that, right? But that's where God speaks to him. On the backside of the desert. In a meaningless job. How many of you feel like that where you are in life and what you're doing in life is meaningless? And you're stuck on the backside of nowhere. And you're out of range for God to speak to you this morning. Maybe in your marriage or at work, relationships with your family members. Maybe you feel like what you're doing or what you've done in your past has put you so far away from the glory and the grace of God that you've disqualified yourself from hearing from God. You say, "You know what? I have done so much that God doesn't even want to speak to me." And you've been convinced that because you've been gone for so long, you're so far gone, because you're so far out there, that God doesn't care about you because you can't hear from him. I wanted to tell you this morning that no matter where, how far you've gone, no matter how far you've run from whatever it is that you're running from, God is still speaking to you. And if maybe you think you've gone too far, you've crossed the line, committed too many sins, or that God could never forgive you what you did in your past, I've got a little secret for you. I want to let you in on something. All right, everybody lean in close. This is good. Everybody lean in close. Come on, lean in. At this point in the story, Moses is a murderer. Moses is a murderer. How many of you committed murder? Good. If God reaches out into the backside of the middle of nowhere in a desert where a guy is tending sheep because he is on the run for committing murder, God can certainly speak to you no matter where you are. You remember the story, because this is what happened to Moses. Moses grew up in the house of the king. He is like a de facto son of the Pharaoh. And one day, now Moses is an Israelite. One day Moses is walking down the street and sees an Egyptian beating an Israelite. Moses gets angry and mad, so he kills the Egyptian. Now, because he's scared of what might happen, the Pharaoh's going to come after him and slit his throat and hang him and tar and feather him in the center of town square. Moses is on the run. He's living a life on the run as a fugitive, a criminal. The life that he once knew, he can't go back to and live because now he is on the run. He is afraid to lose his life, so he runs as far and as fast as he can. He can never return to the place that he used to be at the king's table. And so now, a man who once lived at the house of the king, who sat at the king's table, is tending sheep on the backside of the desert. But that's where God speaks to him. Not while he's seated at the king's table. Not while he's, you know, in the temple. He's not at church. He's not even reading his Bible. And God speaks to him. And God is speaking to you today, no matter where you are or what you're going through. God is speaking to you today because there are no dead zones in the presence of God. There may be with AT&T, Verizon, but there are no dead zones in the presence of God Almighty. And so God, there is no place that you can go. There is no place that you can hide from the presence of God. And he wants to reveal himself to you today. When I was in high school, I was in an organization called the Civil Air Patrol. Has anybody heard of that? The Civil Air Patrol is the civilian auxiliary of the United States Air Force, and it's mostly made up of cadets like age 13 to 18, young adults-ish. It's kind of like Boy Scouts on steroids, right? When I was in the Civil Air Patrol, I learned how to operate military-grade radio equipment. I learned how to fly an airplane. I learned how to do first aid, CPR, high-angle rope rescues, all sorts of fun stuff. Among the many missions that the Civil Air Patrol performs is disaster relief and recovery and support for many different functions. One winter, my squadron, was called out to do a mission. And our mission was to provide first aid and radio communication support for a cross-country skiing tournament. Okay, now I know, let me put this in perspective for you, because I know cross-country skiing tournament doesn't seem like a big deal. I grew up in upstate New York, okay, where it snows like 9 months out of the year, right. And when it snows like 10 feet every minute. Okay, to make matters worse, this cross-country skiing tournament was held in the Adirondacks. So, you can understand now that cross-country skiing is both a very popular sport and a very dangerous sport. So, in radio communications, which is where I want to focus this story, here's what happens. When you send a signal from a radio, it travels across the radio waves unhindered until it reaches an obstacle and is disrupted, right? So, if I send a radio signal and it hits this, the signal will be disrupted. Now, when you're dealing with mountainous terrain like the Adirondacks, this poses a big problem. You get to see my... No, you don't. I think my kids took my other marker. Anybody got a marker back there? Pen? Something? Quickly? That'll work. Hopefully you'll see this. Maybe God's speaking. He didn't like this illustration. I don't know. Anybody see my mountain? So when you're dealing with the mountainous terrain, you come into a very big problem when you're trying to send radio message from one end of the racetrack to the other end of the racetrack. So if I'm this guy here, he's happy, he's smiling because he knows the Lord, and I want to send a message to this guy over here, what happens is I send my radio message across the radio waves and in line of sight communication.
They said that's not dry erase.
That's fine. This is not a dry erase board. It sends a radio message, it hits the mountain, and it stops. I can't reach the guy on the other side of the mountain. Now, we're talking about 0 degree temperatures and the limitations of the human body against the northern New York winters, this is a problem. Because if you have a skier who gets dehydrated and falls on the racetrack, he could go into hypothermia real quick, right? This is a problem. So what we did to solve the problem is we sent out a bunch of teams of cadets to strategic positions all across the racetrack, mostly on mountaintops, to set up what we call... Somebody needs to talk about the budget people and get some new pens. God is speaking to them this morning. So we set up what we call repeaters. Yeah, there we go. We set up repeaters. All right. Hold on, before you leave and I say thank you. Okay, it works. We set up repeaters. The function of a repeater is to receive a signal from a source, amplify it, and send it back out to its intended destination. So, now we've got a person on the other end here. This one probably works. Now I can send a signal to the repeater. The repeater receives the signal, amplifies it, and sends it to its intended destination. And now you can see that we're providing adequate communications for this cross-country skiing event. And I'm here to tell you today that God is in the business of setting up repeaters in your life. He is in the business of positioning you and positioning repeaters in your life so that you can hear the message that he has been resounding from the beginning of time. God is in the business of setting up repeaters in your life. And he has been transmitting a signal from the beginning of the time, and it's written in his book called the Bible. And that signal says, that message says that he loves you more than anything else in the world, that he would send his son for you to die for you on the cross. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, he was thinking of you. He was counting on you. He was expecting you. He knows the numbers of the hairs on your head. God is thinking of you. He is speaking to you, and he is setting up repeaters all around your life just so that you might receive the signal that he is sending, that he loves you more than anything. And so what do repeaters look like? Well, for starters, his word. His word. Some of you feel so far from God and out of reach and out of touch and out of communication with God because you don't read his word. They look like your friends and your family. And you know what? Your pastor is a repeater. He is a man of God called by God to bring God's message directly to you. This church should be a repeater for this community, amplifying the message and the love of Christ so that people would come to know God and receive him, to receive that message. This church should be a repeater. And yes, even your spouse can be a repeater. But let's not forget about Jesus Christ, who amplified the signal of love by reaching out his arms and dying on a cross just so that you might receive, that you might know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a God who loves you more than anything. God is speaking to you. And the question is, are you listening? Are you receiving? You know, some of you don't need, I know some of you pray all the time, God, would you just speak to me? I think the problem with some of you is you don't need God to speak to you more. You just need to listen a little better. Because God is speaking to you. Now, I don't know how God is specifically speaking to you, but God speaks to me above, through all things. He uses movies to speak to me. I love movies. I have probably over 800 movies on my shelf, and I'm very disappointed. That's all I have. But when God called us to start this church, and we got into the process of doing that, I started really struggling with insecurities and feelings of inadequacy and listening to a lot of the critics in my life who were saying, you're too young, you're not smart enough, you need to go to school, you need to do this, you need to do that. And I started really feeling like I wanted to give up. And then one day I watched The Lord of the Rings. How many of y'all like The Lord of the Rings? Right? Give me some Frodo Baggins up in here. Samwise Gamgee, Gandalf. Right? So I'm watching the second movie, which I don't know what the title is, but I'm watching the second Lord of the Rings movie. And it gets to the point in the movie where Frodo Baggins is about to give up. I mean, he is ready to throw in the towel, call it a day. And if you don't know the plot of the story, Frodo Baggins inherits this mission, this purpose, this will, to carry this ring to a place called Mount Doom, and he's going to destroy the ring because then all of the evil in the world will go away and everything will be back to normal. But the burden of this task, this great and noble, mighty task, is so much that Frodo Baggins gets up and he's just like, I'm just ready to go home. I'm going to hand off the ring. I'm going to cash in my chips and I'm going home because I can't do this anymore. This is too much for me. Circumstances of my life are so much right now. I'm just a hobbit from, you know, wherever he's from. I got big feet, and right now I'm not feeling pretty big. And all of a sudden, his buddy, Samwise Gamgee, who kind of is goofy and has really a limited role in the movie up until this point, just kind of follows around, he gives this epic speech. And he turns around to Frodo Baggins, and he's like, Mr. Frodo, this whole thing is like those stories we read about and we hear about all the time. These guys have these great missions, and they keep going, and you never want to read the end because you're afraid they're going to fail. But all these stories have one thing in common. These guys never gave up because they're holding on to something. They're holding on to this hope. And Frodo Baggins goes, looks at him, he says, Sam, what are we holding on to? What hope do we have? And Samwise Gamgee turns around, played by Sean Austin, you know, Rudy, and says that there's still good left in this world, Mr. Frodo, and that's worth fighting for. And boy, I tell you what, if I didn't feel like God was speaking directly to me because he was saying, Josh, it doesn't matter about the circumstances in your life or what people are telling you or what you've done in your past or the sins that you've committed, I am good. I am good, and I will sustain you. This thing, whatever you're pursuing, this life that I've called you to, you fight for it. It's worth fighting for because there is good left in this world because I am good. I am sovereign. I am God. I control everything. Keep moving forward. So God spoke to me through the Lord of the Rings. What's God speaking to you through? Brings me up to my next point. God is in the business of taking the ordinary and making it extraordinary. God is in the business of taking ordinary things and making them extraordinary, right? Lord of the Rings is not a very extraordinary, I mean, it's an epic movie, but it's an ordinary thing. It's a movie, right? It's a movie. How many of you have always prayed for God to give you a big billboard sign or a burning bush? Suggests that you can know what's going on. Got a real quick funny story. When Nick was, I don't know, he was a couple months old, I don't know, it was years ago, Sarah, we were driving around and Sarah thought she was pregnant, okay? And this is before she had taken a birth control test, hadn't gone to the doctors, right? And we're driving down Pennsylvania Avenue, I think, in Hagerstown, and there's this billboard. And it says, so, you think that you're pregnant? Call, da da da. And I laughed, I chuckled just like that, and I said, you know, baby, you would be the only person I actually know in the history of all of my life to actually get a billboard sign from God that you're pregnant, if you're really pregnant. 2 weeks later, she goes and takes a pregnancy test, and guess what? She's pregnant. She's pregnant. Billboard's an ordinary thing, and God used it to speak into our life, but most of us don't have the luxury of a billboard or a burning bush, do we? But let's go back to the story of Moses. There's nothing extraordinary about the story until God shows up. There's nothing sexy or glamorous about tending sheep in the middle of the desert. There's nothing amazing about this story until God shows up and lights a bush on fire, right? God is in the business of taking the ordinary and making it extraordinary. It's a specialty. The scripture says that Moses is at the foot of Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, also known as Mount Zion. This mountain that Moses is at the base of is also the same mountain where Moses will later receive the Ten Commandments from God. Right? God meets Moses on the mountain. He comes down. His face is all shining. He's got this stuff. But I wanted to let you know something today. God doesn't always speak to you on the mountaintop. Sometimes God speaks to you in the valley, at the foot of the mountain. And some of you are in the valley this morning. And that's why God has set up repeaters on the mountaintops in your life. Speak his word to you, because God is still speaking to you. Most people think that God only speaks to preachers and Sunday school teachers, but God speaks to ordinary people too. Not that preachers and Sunday school teachers are extraordinary. You just got to listen better. If God can speak to Moses on the backside of the desert in the middle of nowhere, he can speak to you. Let me tell you a little secret about preachers. 90% of our good stories come from our wives. That's an ordinary thing. How many of y'all have kids? How many of you have had God speak to you through your kids? How many of you don't like it when God speaks to you through your kids? You know, most of the time in this story, we focus on the burning bush, right? Because who's seen a burning bush? I mean, if a bush caught on fire and wasn't consumed, you'd stop and be like, whoa, that's extraordinary. But let's look at Moses for a second. You want to talk about taking ordinary and making it extraordinary? Moses is a murderer. He's on the run. He's got a mediocre job working for his father-in-law. And by the end of the story, God makes him the leader of a nation. God is in the business of taking the ordinary and making it extraordinary. He wants to do the same for you. It starts with listening and responding to the voice of God. next point. You can't come to God. God must come to you. Now, before y'all like start running me out of the church for heretical teaching, let me unpack this for a second. I think there's an epidemic in this church, I'll be honest, in this church, in churches all across America, where we're so busy doing activity for God and we're not doing activity with God. Right? We're doing more. We're trying harder to get closer to God, right? Only if I go more Sunday school, if I give more in the offering, if I serve more, I'll get closer to God. Notice in this story, Moses was busy. Moses was tending sheep. He was minding his own business, running from his past, and God comes to him to give him a second chance, to give him a hope for the future, to give him meaning for his life, to give him purpose, to identify and call out the potential in his life. And there were no strings attached. It wasn't because Moses was a good boy and he gave his offerings and his tithes. It's because God is good. It's because God is a God of grace and second chances. God has come to you this morning to give you a second chance. You want to know the will of God for your life? It starts with knowing God. It starts with hearing and responding to God and his repeaters that he set up all around you. Some of you are trying so hard to earn God's love. Let me tell you something. God can't love you any more than the day that he sent his son to die on a cross. God loves you. You don't need to earn it. You just need to receive it. Final point is that it's only God's voice. It's only God's voice that reveals your potential. Not MTV, not CNN, not the balance of your checkbook, not the cars that you have in the driveway or the house that, in the suburb that you live in. It's God's voice. You see, because before this encounter, Moses is an ordinary guy tending sheep. And sometimes I think, you know, in my life, when I do something wrong, I'll tell you something, I'm always looking over my shoulder. Like Moses, right? He's on the run. Guarantee you, he couldn't relax. He's always looking over his shoulder, you know, waiting for the Egyptians to roll up with their chariots and, you know, grease him on the spot. And most of you can't settle down. You guys can't find satisfaction, and you're not going to find satisfaction. You're not going to find what God has called you to do in anything except the voice of God in Jesus Christ. You see, long before God laid the foundations of the earth, he had you in mind. He had settled on us. He had settled on you, and he had settled on me as the focus of his love so that we could be made whole and we could be made holy by that love. And because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, he poured out his blood on the altar of the cross so that we are free. We can be free. Not just barely free, like some of you feel. Not just barely free, but abundantly free. Free to pursue God wholeheartedly and be used of God mightily and greatly in your lifetime. Free to take our rightful place in his will. And it starts with listening to God. It starts with hearing God's voice. And the question is, are you listening? He is speaking to you today. So where do you go from here? Now that you're here, now that you know that God is speaking to you, where do you go from here? Let's pray. Father God, I don't know where everybody is here this morning. I don't know what the next steps are or what you've called this people to or what you've called them from. God, but I know that you are speaking to each one of us this morning. I know that you are speaking into our hearts and the circumstances of our lives, and I pray that as we move out of this place this morning, we would begin listening for your voice, that we would be responding to the repeaters that you have set up in our lives, so that we could be made whole by knowing you, by serving you, by loving you. Maybe this is the first time that you've heard God's voice clearly. Maybe this is the first time you've heard God speaking to you. And you've never responded to the love of God in your life. Maybe you're in here today and you feel like you haven't heard from God in a long, long time. And he has spoken to you. If God has spoken to you this morning with every eye closed and every head bowed, I want you to raise your hand right now. If God is speaking to you this morning, take hope. He is calling you. God, I thank you for your word this morning that's sharper than any double-edged sword. God, I thank you for these people who are here to receive a message from you, God. And I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who amplified that message to the point of death so that we might be free, that we might be whole. God, for this people, I pray that you make them whole. God, that you would call them this morning. God, that you would lead them to the next steps in the process of discovering you and your will. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray.